following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
This episode from Radioland is brought to you in part by the New York City Guitar School. You need to learn how to play guitar. You've always wanted to. It's a matter of trying to find the time. Maybe a qualified instructor, and then you got to get in the car, and you got to go down to the shop, and you got to go deal with him. And it's, you know, it's not very convenient sometimes, at least for those of us that are on the move. But you can learn online at the New York City Guitar School. They've got an online course that you can take at your own leisure. Middle of the night, no problem. Early in the morning, no problem. It's all right there. Go check it out. You can find their banner at radio-memphis.com. Look for the thing that says guitar lessons. Click on that and it'll take you to it. And if you want to figure out if this is even right for you, take a look at their free video that they've got. Yeah, that's what I said, free. There's a sample of all of the lessons that are right there. It's called Guitar Tricks and Tips and Hacks, and you can take a look at it and decide if this is the thing for you. It's a pretty cool way to learn guitar, and it's available for you right now online. Look for it on our website at radio-memphis.com. Hello. My name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. Here in the summertime, one of the big pastimes that's been going around on the web, it seems, is this thing called marble racing. You know, there was a time in the... You know, a long time ago, kids used to play marbles, the game. You draw the circle, you have a big cat's eye, and you got to knock everybody else's marbles out, and you collect them, and it was gambling is really what it boiled down to in its early days. And marbles, you know, they went from that to being relegated into arts and crafts projects and such as that as it is. And now there's this new thing online where people are digging these really elaborate tracks. They're all downhills. It's akin to a soapbox derby type thing with the cars that the kids, the Boy Scouts do. But they've got all of these marbles, all different colors, and everybody, I presume they wager on who's going to win. And these are like 4 and 5 minute long races. They're fairly elaborate. And on video, there's a commentary. There's a guy calling the race. Each of the marbles have a name. And there's like 20 or 30 of these marbles rolling down through the sand trenches, and it's a trip to see. But after you've seen one or two of them, you're kind of. And what's funny is the commentators they refer to the marbles as he. You know, here's the Black Mamba. He's trying to make a run into first place as he rounds the corn. Yeah, come on, it's silly, but. And a lot of effort goes into this to make it happen. It's, you know, to each their own, I suppose. It's great. I'm glad people are having some fun with it. But, you know, in this day and age, in video and in YouTube, it wouldn't survive except in that aspect. Speaking of YouTube, this show from Radioland is making an appearance on YouTube. On a permanent basis, apparently, you'll be able to subscribe to it. We're on camera right now, actually. Not that you're seeing much. It's just me sitting here at the mic. I can deliver special little hand messages to the to the people that are watching. See, if you want to see it, you're more than welcome to do so. A lot of people like to consume podcasts through YouTube. So there's that. That's going for you. That's a pretty groovy thing. And in this day of video on demand, people getting excited about what's available out there, this seems like a pretty logical step. So, you know, Radio Memphis, the Radio Memphis page, you can subscribe to it. You'll get notified when there's a new video that comes up. We're going to be doing a lot more with that page, which is kind of cool. So that's going to be happening, and we figured, why not? Let's put Radioland up there and give it a go and see how it goes. Plus, you know, you can comment on some of the things that are said on there if you'd like. The internet, of course, is filled with trolls, so I'm sure somebody will complain about some of the things that I'll mention in this episode. it's just that's the way it goes. So yeah, you'll be able to find it there. And yeah, as far as the video here, I know the quality isn't, you know, stellar. It is 1080, but the resolution of this particular camera that we have in here is not perfect for this. It's perfect for now. We'll probably change it up as we go along. But nevertheless, from here on out on YouTube, you'll be able to find From Radioland. Coming up on this episode today, we've got some music for you. Mike Dees will be making an appearance, performing a tune called It's a Hit. It's a great tune. It involves a theremin and a sitar and a lot of kind of a groovy rock and roll thing. Mike's a great guy. So that's coming up. And what I wanted to get into this time out is along the same lines of where we started here at the beginning of this show, which is about video. Video is a big deal. Video is on the internet. It's everything. Television streaming is nearly everything. You have a lot that's going on in terms of streaming television because, you know, the cable companies are trying to figure out how they're going to stop the mass exodus of people that are subscribing to their services. Dish TV, satellite systems having problems. AT&T UVerse is running television down a phone line. That's ancient technology. You know, fiber optics are really kind of the way it's going. So, you know, yeah, I think we're seeing a big change as far as how this industry is going to really, really be consumed. Because now, here's the thing with video and on demand and stuff like that, you can watch it anywhere at any time on anything you want. You want to watch it on your TV at home, you can do so. If you want to watch it on your device, your tablet, you can do so. You want to watch it on your phone, knock yourself out. You can have some fun with it. And it's making for a very interesting world that we live in the way we consume our news and our media and everything that goes with it. And having said that, there is a movement now to figure out what it's going to be like in someone's car. Coming up with systems, operating systems that are, there's a battle, it's an all-out war that's going on with an auto manufacturers across the world, really. That, of course, the car radio, that ubiquitous device that we'd had in there since day one, is going away. A lot of cars are making AM FM radio an option now. They don't even put it in there. Now they're putting in this media center, and it's, of course, it's a computer. It's got a touchscreen. It's got things on it. Now the fight is, the battle is, what's going to be the thing that's going to run it? Will it be an Apple system, an iOS system, or will it be an Android system? Will it be something we've never heard of before? And what apps are going to come standard? What companies are going to be in there to fight for your affections, your attention? For example, Stitcher, which is a podcast hosting service, we place this show with them. We're in their directory. We have a lot of listeners through Stitcher. They've just been sold to Howl Media, I believe is what it is. They're doing some really cool stuff with the podcast world, but they're putting the Stitcher brand, the Stitcher icon, in cars now. Because they know that people like you who consume shows like this are doing so typically while behind the wheel of a car. Of course, I've just upped the ante by videotaping. And you really should let this, please, if you're driving while watching this, don't do that. That's distracted driving. And in most states, you can get a ticket for that. Or you could wind up in a car accident. You don't want that. So, you know, please be careful if that's what you're going to do. But yes, along those lines, we are in a world now where shows like this are going to be available right there at your fingertips, no matter where you are or what it is that you're doing. It's part of being a mobile society. Desktop computers are not selling as big as they once were. They're never really going to go away. Too many people use their muscle for doing a lot of the heavy lifting that is required by a lot of software. And there's always going to be somebody who's going to be building machines. I'm one of them. I like building computers. I enjoy it. They're handy, but I do like the mobile world. You know, I carry a big phone. I carry a tablet. I carry a laptop. I have my machine here in Studio A that I'm working on right now. I'm as connected and plugged in, I think, as one human being could possibly be. Except I don't. There is a couple of exceptions here. I don't wear a Fitbit watch because I don't think that my physical activity is anybody's business but my own. Because you do realize that based on the timeline and your physical activity and all that data being uploaded to some server somewhere, somebody knows when you're getting laid. You know, the middle of the night, 15 minutes of excitement, and which, by the way, 15 minutes, congratulations, my brother. That sort of thing is trackable. It's translatable. It's a little too much information. And the other exception to this is Facebook. I have Facebook on my mobile devices, but I do not have Messenger. And they are, man, Facebook is getting to the point now where they're getting kind of rude about it. They're saying, you know, this so-and-so friend has invited you to meet with him and chat with him on Facebook Messenger. No, he hasn't. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. He wants to get a hold of me. He can push the little message button and send me a message, and I'll get it on my desktop, or I'll get it in the online version of the thing. But that's just it. Part of the problem is that the messenger thing is taking up more real estate on people's phones, and now they are making it to where Android cannot access Facebook's mobile site. You know, like say you use Google Chrome or Firefox or whatever, they make the messaging part of it unavailable on their mobile site for Android users. I don't know how they're pulling that off, but they are doing it. So it's ultimately going to get down to the point where unless you check in onto the desktop version of a computer someplace, you won't be able to get that message unless you have Messenger on your device. I don't want Messenger on my device, mainly because there's some really interesting privacy issues. We've discussed this before. They want you to activate your camera for them. They want access to everything that you've got. I don't know that I'm comfortable with this. I've read a lot of reports that say it's no big deal. Nobody's getting worked up about this. It's fine. It's easy. It's a piece of cake. Let's just say in my case, the jury is still out. Perhaps someday I'll get onto the messenger, but for now, no. I'm pretty good, you know. I've got a lot of email accounts as it is. I've got Twitter. I've got Instagram. I got all that stuff, and I don't need any more. I'm good. Trying to cut down. See, I appreciate it. But it does go back to the thing about video. Because now one of the new technologies is 360 video. 360 video is pretty slick. I'm sure you've seen it. A lot of companies are using it as a marketing tool, a manufacturing thing, a way to make a commercial with a camera. And it's about the size of, say, a volleyball or something, maybe smaller. It's got camera lenses all over it, and you're able to get literally a 360-degree view of everything around you. And I'm not even sure exactly how the technology works. I just know that it's pretty slick. That whoever's looking at it when they have their phone, and they turn it sideways, and they're looking at something. When they move the phone around, they're looking around the room as though it's just sort of kind of a magical little window into the room. That's pretty cool. It's, you know, we're not going to get into holograms just yet, but we do have that. Which brings me to this. The porn industry, when y'all are done giggling, I'll continue. The porn industry has always been on the forefront of all technology, especially when it comes to digital media. They we've discussed this before. They were the ones that settled the fight between VHS and Beta. They were the ones that pushed the Blu-ray system ahead of DVD. They're the ones that figured out credit card transactions online. They are the ones who figured out things like Skype and Google Hangout because they were using it for interactive weirdness online, or however the case may be, whatever works. Whatever turns one's crank. But they were the forefront of all of it. Now, with the Oculus Rift, the 3D immersive experience that's going on, there's already porn out there with it. I bet my bottom dollar on it. Pardon the pun. But how long is it going to be until the 360 view of naked people doing what they're doing going to be a thing? It may not. I don't know. I don't know that it would be that. I don't know that pornography needs to be that immersive. Once again, let's just let the jury sort that out. Let's just see how people, because it's all based in demand. If people want something, they're going to get it. They're going to do it, and it'll be that big a deal. Here's something else too. Speaking of cameras, security cameras are everywhere. I don't know if you've given it much thought. When you go on about your day, whatever your routine is, let's say you're like a lot of people, you get up every day, you have a bite to eat, maybe a cup of coffee, you get in your car, you go somewhere, a job perhaps. After your job, middle of the day, you may go off to lunch, you go back to the job. Afterward, you're maybe running some errands, going to the store, picking up a few things that you need around the house, stopping off at the liquor store because it's been a rough week, or you're just out of liquor, and then you go home. And then maybe pick up the other half and go out for a bite to eat, maybe for dinner, maybe go somewhere for dinner, perhaps a movie, then you're back home. And during that time, you have your image has graced a lot of cameras. They are everywhere. And it's to the point now where we have in place a basic premise of law, which states, to wit, and I paraphrase, when you are in public, you have no expectation to a right of privacy. I bring this up because where I live in Midtown Memphis, an area called Cooper Young, there are people that live here that really want cameras all over the neighborhood to stop crime. They think that cameras in their place, just by their very existence, will stop crime. I don't know about you. I've watched the local news. A crime has occurred. It makes the show. And the police release security footage, closed circuit cameras, and it's a fuzzy image. It looks like it could be Bigfoot. You don't know who that person is. So it really doesn't solve the crime. People know this. They don't give a shit when they commit the crime. They're going to go and they're going to do it regardless of whether there's a camera there or not. Here in our neighborhood, it's become a bit of a sticking point. And the battleground for this is in social media. And it's occurring on a social media site called Nextdoor, of which I have an account with. I don't say much on it anymore because apparently my sense of humor is not very much appreciated there. That's fine. That's okay. These are sensible people. They just don't want to have their sensibilities provoked. And that's okay. But when the city of Memphis granted a financial grant to our area for some ridiculous amount of money, it was decided, before anybody else could really have much of a say in it, that cameras were going to be installed down here. Now, all right, that's all well and good. Picture our neighborhood is kind of a big square. So you have four major boulevards that surround our little village. And in the middle of this is the entertainment district, if you will. And then you got a bunch of people that live down here. It's an old neighborhood built at about between 1900 and 1910-ish. This house that we live in was built in 1910. Anyway, because it's Midtown, because of its proximity to other troubled neighborhoods, we do get some bleed over from crime. We got some young criminals that like to come in here and they're holding people up. They're breaking into cars. They're just doing what criminals do. They're just causing problems. They're breaking into people's houses. It happens. It's unfortunate, but it does. Having said that, this big movement now is to spend all this money to get all these cameras up. Now, the first move was to put cameras in all of the major entrances to the neighborhood. No expectation of privacy anyway. That's fine. I get that. They're saying that if something happens in the neighborhood, then perhaps they can go back to those cameras and they can see if they can find a car coming in or out. There's a lot of traffic down here. I don't know how they're going to insinuate if you're going to get a tag number off of this thing. We don't know. Nighttime, what's going to happen? The night vision of these cameras in cooperation with a floodlight look pretty damn good. I will say that. The problem is you got to be within 10 or 15 feet of the damn camera. That's not a good thing. So now we go down this road of having cameras in the major entrance and exit points of this neighborhood. And there'll be signs, there'll be notifications that this activity is going on. They're just polite like that down here. Dear criminal, you are on camera. It's a deterrent perhaps to some other people. They don't care. They don't give a shit. A lot of them can't read anyway. They don't care. So the next step in the process will be to add more cameras to the scenario. Let's say, God forbid, my home gets broken into. Or my neighbor's home gets broken into. And they're thinking, well, if we had cameras on our street, perhaps we would be able to find them. Well, now, here's the problem. Cameras go onto the street, and now the front of my house is on a camera that is accessible to the police department and to God knows whomever else. Now the assumption of privacy is becoming a little more diminished in my own front yard, in my own property, on my own front porch. Or if a neighbor behind me has an issue with an alleyway, next thing you know, there's a camera down there that may happen to catch what's going on in my backyard. Do I want that as well? It has been argued since the founding of this country that if you sacrifice your freedom for security, you deserve neither. I don't want to live in the surveillance state. We've accepted it now. There are cameras every fucking way, every place we go, or everywhere. That's fine. I deal with them in my own special way. Here in town, here in Memphis, we have this thing called Blue Crush. And I'll out it every time, not every time, but a lot of times when I drive by it, I'm giving them the finger. Hey, print that. Go find that. That's my freedom of speech. And it's not illegal, so yeah. But I'm the guy that does that. Do the presence of police cameras negate any crime? It's negligible at best. What are they going to see? What are they going to see when the crime is being committed? If there's somebody that's monitoring it live, that which entails manpower to somebody to sit there and blindly stare at these monitors for hours on end, mind-numbingly, simply boring work. Shit's going to fall between the cracks. Something records, it's on a loop, and then something happens, they can go and they can pull the tape and they can find the incident. Perhaps. What are they going to see? Some blurry shit, maybe a car, but it's no different than what typical eyewitnesses are going to give the law enforcement folk, which I don't know. These aren't traffic cameras, which is another sore subject with me. By the way, if you get a ticket on a traffic camera in Memphis, don't pay it. They won't come after you. It's a scam. A good chunk of that money goes to another. It's a long story. We'll get into that some other time. The idea that these cameras now have followed us from the general public now into our community to stop or negate criminal activity is a problem with me, because I don't think that cameras have the greatest track record in solving a lot of crime, especially in today's day and age. A good camera is not that cheap to begin with. I'm talking a good camera. The one that we're using on this show, no, it's not that great of a camera. It's doing a fine enough job for our needs right now. But in this particular case, I don't believe that a heavy use camera like this is going to be that good. And there again, there is that assumption of somebody, wherever it is, if I walk out into my backyard in the middle of the night to take a leak with a beer in my hand and a cigar in my mouth, I don't necessarily need to have that broadcast to the community association. That's just one of those things. Oh, I can hear it now. Oh, Rick, you know, you're jumping the gun. You're not paying attention to what's going on out there. And, you know, you should join the neighborhood watch. Bitch, I am part of the neighborhood watch. I live here. I come and I go and I watch what's going on. I watch for my neighbors. I make sure that they're fine. I know that they're doing the same for us. That is the essence of neighborhood watch. Does it necessarily need to be organized? Because what are we going to do? Somebody going to call the cops? Somebody's going to call the cops anyway. Most people are decent human beings. They're going to do these things without compunction. Most people, there's a few that go, I don't want to get involved. But there's always going to be somebody that will take care of it. You always look for the helpers. They're there, as Fred Rogers once said. And it's no different than any type of neighborhood. God forbid something should happen with us. I know that my neighbors would be there to because it happened. I mean, right here in this very room that we're in Studio A, about 5 years ago, a tree limb from the neighbor over here came down, took the back wall of this room off. That wall came off. Water was pouring in right here where I'm sitting. It was a mess. This room was destroyed. Not within 5 seconds of that event happening. Thank God I wasn't in here. But after 5 seconds of that event happening, my phone rings and it was my neighbor wanting to know if I'm okay. That's neighborhood watch. next door, the social media thing is now turning into a bitch fest because of people. You know, if you state an opinion like I have done in the past, comedic or not, or if I use the vehicle of comedy to express my point of view, then people that get their feelings hurt. I've had a post that was flagged as inappropriate, and I'll tell you. I think I mentioned it here before, but I'll tell you what happened briefly. There was somebody had written, they had posted in Nextdoor that they were on their way home and they saw a man who was naked walking down the sidewalk. Obviously a little unhinged, but he was naked. He wasn't a threat to anybody. He was just naked. And instead of calling the police, this person takes to social media and decides to present the story there, of which somebody said, why didn't you call the police and all this other, and there's all these, call the police, call the police, call the police, call the police. And then I finally jumped into it and I said, well, to be fair, it is a nice night for a walk. And that post got flagged as inappropriate by somebody who was offended by that remark. And they went so far as to say that sexual assault was not funny. There was no sexual assault. Just the fact that somebody is walking sans pants doesn't necessarily make that sexual assault. Did his penis make contact with you? I don't think so. Are you offended by what you saw? Absolutely. What happens? Absolutely nothing. Call the police. Don't go to social media, or guys like me are going to say something about it. But to back up a little bit, the whole point here with Nextdoor, I look at it, I read it every day, but I don't contribute anymore because these people get so bent out of shape about so many dumb things. And so now their big thing is cameras are going to be everywhere. As I say this on camera in my own studio, I know this to be okay because I placed said camera here and I've set it up in here. So it's the benefit of all of those new subscribers over on YouTube. Crazy, I know.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
You have to look at, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. Research the things that you see. This just seems outlandish, then perhaps it is. There's a good possibility that you might want to investigate that for your own good, so you don't look like that ass that is just spreading shit around because you heard it. Or what's worse is you're spreading it around because you agree with it. That's what's really bad, because you agree with that negativity that's being placed into that piece that you've just shared to everybody. Great joke I heard the other day. I've got a brand new app on my phone that tells me who my racist friends are. It's called Facebook. I'll just leave that right there for you guys to just think.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
If you're looking for a really groovy gift for somebody, perhaps you should take your butt over to Wizards. You can find them in Midtown Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue. Open 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., 7 days a week. Great place. It's an alternative smoke shop. Rated number one alternative smoke shop in the city for many, many years. Great folks over there, and they've got some cool stuff, including the much-talked-about lava lamp, the original lava lamp. You want one? You want a lava lamp? You can order one online. Wizards Memphis. Just search it or look for their banner at radio-memphis.com. Buy with confidence. They'll ship it straight to your home. And they've got some other fun stuff over there, too, for you. Adult novelties, groovy T-shirts and hats, wacky clothing, candles, the famous Woodwick candles. They're all there. Wizards, look for them. Wizards, because it's still smoking. All right, our musical guest this time out is a guy that has been here in the Memphis music scene for a long time. Great guy, great entertainer, and a very prolific songwriter. He does some very cool and unique stuff. And in fact, this particular tune you're going to hear, it's a great poppy beat to it. It's lovely. It's a fantastic song. It's called It's a Hit. And it has a theremin and a sitar in it. Because leave it to Mike Dees to put a theremin in a rock tune. He does it. He does it with great class and great style. Here it is from Radioland. It's a Hit.
Don't you think it's strange that you're always left alone? It's a story you know all too well. Same old song that sends you straight to hell. Oh, goodbye me. Jumping at the beat, it's a hit when you know better than it, and you do it anyway. Too afraid to change, and it's strange that your brains put you in the range of harm's way. Before you do, left behind your back is a fact. Now on the attack, search for clues. It's a story you know all too well. Same old song that sends you straight to hell. Oh, goodbye me. Jumping at the beat, it's a hit when you know better than it, and you do it anyway. Too afraid to change. Your brains put you in the range of harm's way. Ah. Right and stew as it chews parts of you till you're almost gone. Time to run, now it's done. Gun wants it strong. It's a story you know all too well. Same old song that sends you straight to hell. Oh, goodbye me. Jumping at the beat, it's a hit when you know better than it, and you do it anyway. Too afraid to change, and it's strange that your brains put you in the range of harm's way.
That's Mike Dees from Radioland. It's a hit. You can hear that anytime you want to at radio-memphis.com. All you have to do is call us up and request it when you hear somebody on the air, and we'll get it on the air for you. It's just that simple. It's a great tune. And find it. Go online, Mike Dees, D-E-E-S. Get the tune. Enjoy it and have some serious fun with it. You've heard what's coming up next time here on the program. Those of you who have discovered us over here on YouTube, welcome. We're going to continue this every week. It's creating more work. We're giving it away for basically nothing. Enjoy. Write whatever you want down in the comment section you want. Or if you'd like to, drop us a line, radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. Also, those of you that have Android devices and use the Google Play Store, the show is now available there at Google Play. Go there, look for Rick Cheddar from Radioland, subscribe to it, and you'll never miss an episode as we have done all of the low these many weeks. 100 and something, 120 something. We've been around, we've been doing it for a bit. So there you go. So look out for the cameras, smile for them all. Give them the finger every once in a while if it makes you feel better too. Take care of one of yourselves, take care of one another. We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been From Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.